Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Here's a lost show from the early 1940s from the series Sky Blazers. It's about the real-life adventures of Joe Crossan, pilot, in the early days in Alaska.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio, based on true stories. Here is the Joe Crossan story from Sky Blazers.
Sky Blazers! Sky Blazers calling Colonel Roscoe Turner! Sky Blazers calling Colonel Roscoe at Flight Headquarters!
This is Flight Headquarters, Colonel Roscoe Turner speaking. Sky Blazers, coast to coast, stand by. Sky Blazers, stand by.
The makers of Wonder Bread present Sky Blazers, based on the adventures of the men and women who pioneered new trails in the sky that we might fly. In a moment, we're going to transfer you to Colonel Roscoe Turner at Flight Headquarters. But first, just a word to the mothers of growing boys and girls. When you buy bread, the first thing you want to know is this loaf fresh? Really fresh? You know that is most important for your family's enjoyment. But don't be fooled by selecting bread by the feel of the loaf alone. For sometimes bread which seems to feel fresh may be just underbaked and therefore hard to digest. Or it might feel fresh, yet be merely puffed up with air and therefore dry out quickly. So do as thousands of women are doing and ask your grocer for slow-baked Wonder Bread. Slow baking means that infinite pains are taken from the original mixing to the final baking of each single loaf. Wonder Bread is actually baked 13% slower than many ordinary kinds. This slow baking helps to keep Wonder Bread from becoming dried out, helps to keep each slice moist, tender, tempting, and delicious. Ask your grocer for a loaf of Wonder Bread today. Slow-baked for lasting freshness.
Now, take it away, Colonel Turner at Flight Headquarters. You are on the air.
Contact. Sky Blazers, tonight I'm going to tell you the strange story of an aviator who, although he was the most hated man in Alaska, saved the lives of hundreds of people there. The story begins in San Diego, California in 1926, when Joe Crossan, then 23 years old, was running a taxi service with his homemade airplane. One afternoon at the flying field, Joe was just locking the hangar when the manager of the field called him.
Wait a minute, Joe Crossan. I want to talk to you.
Why, sure, Mr. Saxon. I was just going home, but...
Joe, when are you going to pay up your hangar rent?
Just as soon as I can, but...
And this bill for gasoline.
My dad's been sick, Mr. Saxon. It's taken everything to pay hospital
That's
bills.
That's too bad. But I've got to get my money.
I'll pay you. I will.
Yeah? You're not getting enough taxi work with that homemade rattletrap plane of yours to buy donuts and coffee.
It's a good plane. Maybe it doesn't look so hot, but it flies just as good as any.
I notice folks always hire one of the new planes. Did you take anybody up today?
Well, no, sir.
It's no use kidding yourself, Joe. You can't make it go all this business. Give me the key to the hangar.
You're not kicking me off the field.
Yeah, and I'm taking your plane over in payment of your debts.
Mr. Saxon, I'll pay you in a few days.
I'm tired of that old song and dance. I want my money or the key. Give me that key.
Let go!
Hey, what's going on here?
Shorty, Saxon's trying to take my plane.
You pilots? No, I'm not in the business for my health. I've got to get my rent for these hangars.
Give Joe a chance, Mr. Saxon. He's a square shooter. He'll pay you.
Crossan, if you can't pay that rent by tomorrow, you're through here. And I'll be around with the sheriff to take your plane.
Tough luck, Joe. If there's anything I can do...
It's no use, Shorty. With my homemade plane, I can't compete with you other pilots. Saxon was right. Folks just take one look at my plane and turn away.
Joe?
Yeah?
Would you be interested in a job?
Would I? Do you know of one?
Yeah, and it pays $150 a week.
Where is it?
Well, that's the hitch, Joe. It's up in Alaska with the Fairbanks Airplane Company.
Shorty, I'm going after that job.
Wait, Joe. Alaska's got the toughest flying conditions in the world. That country up there was made for dog teams, not planes. They had a dozen pilots in the last year. They stay for 2 weeks and then they come back home.
Think they'd take me?
Take you? They'd welcome you with open arms, Joe. If there's one place they need aviators, it's Alaska.
This is Fairbanks, mister. End of the line.
How far is it to the flying field, conductor?
About 3 miles.
How can I get out there? I don't see any taxis.
Ask that fellow over there with the dog team. He's the taxi around here.
Thanks.
Quiet, Marshall. Lie down there, sick. You too, Daisy.
Mister, the conductor said I could hire you to take my baggage.
What you got? Just those two grips?
Yes.
Okay.
Say, those are beautiful dogs. You know, this is the first dog team I ever saw.
Tenderfoot, eh? Hey, watch yourself. Those dogs are half wolf. Don't pet them. Look out. Well, I'm a ringtail mule if he ain't licking your hand.
Guess he knows I like dogs.
What's your name, Tenderfoot?
Joe Crossan.
Glad to meet you, Crossan. Well, I got your grips on the sled. Now, where do you want to go?
To the flying field.
What?
I'm an aviator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, what's the idea of throwing my grips off?
I don't like aviators. That's the idea.
Why not?
I've been up here in Alaska so long, they call me a sourdough. I make my living hauling freight and mail to the mining camps with my dog team. Now, you guys, with your airplanes, come along and underbid us, take all the business away. Us old-time dog team drivers is all near starving to death.
But why do you let the airplane company underbid you?
Why? Well, them planes can go 600 miles in a day. It'd take my dogs a month to go that distance.
Well, don't blame me. I didn't invent the airplane.
Don't worry. We run the rest of them pilots out of the country, and you'll be next.
Welcome to Alaska. Well, it won't hurt for me to walk.
Coming on.
I'm Joe Crossan, reporting for duty.
Shut that door. Don't you know it's 30 below?
Sorry, sir.
So you're the new aviator. Well, put down your grips and take off your coat. I'm Pat Hennessy, manager of this outpost of humanity.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Hennessy. When do I start work?
Well, the last four guys they sent me started work on Monday and quit on Saturday. Are you planning to stay out the week?
I plan to be here quite a while, Mr. Hennessy.
Then I might as well begin to educate you, Crossan. A tenderfoot's for to be educated up here in this country.
All right. Begin?
First, I'll teach you how to start an airplane engine.
Say, you can educate me, but you don't have to send me to kindergarten. I know that.
You think you know. You'll soon find out you don't know anything. You've got to forget everything you ever learned about flying and begin all over again. The way to start an airplane up here in Alaska is to light the stove.
What?
That's right. You'll find your engine oil is frozen solid, so you put it on to cook. Then you go out and you warm up your engine.
I know how to warm up an engine.
Not the way we do it in Alaska. We build a fire under the engine.
Well, what keeps the plane from burning up?
You do.
It's sure different up here.
Now, here's your flying clothes.
Say, those look good and warm, but I don't need all those outfits. So just one outfit and a change will do me.
This is just one outfit, Tenderfoot. You wear it all at the same time. 4 sheepskin shirts, 4 pairs of woolen socks, 3 deerskin parkas, 5 suits of underwear, 3 pairs of mittens. I guess it's all there.
Boy, it must be really cold up here. What's my flying schedule going to be?
You fly one day each week.
One day? That sounds like a cinch. What do I do the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, you take the engine to pieces, you find out why it stopped when you were up in the air.
Aren't the planes any good?
Yeah, they were first-class planes 10 years ago.
Oh. Well, what happens when the engine stops and you make a forced landing? I suppose you have to hike to some miner's cabin for help.
That's right. Only on the cabin door, you'll find the following notice to wit. Board and room, $20 a day. No aviators wanted. Had enough? Want to go back to the States?
Oh, no, Mr. Hennessy. I'm staying. I think I'm going to like it fine.
Skyblazers. Joe Crossan stuck to that job in spite of the cold and snow, the obsolete planes, and the hatred of the old sourdoughs. He soon became noted for his daring exploits. He took the first photograph of the wrecked airship Norge at Teller, Alaska. He flew for Sir Hubert Wilkins in his Arctic explorations and made many dangerous flights. Then, on Christmas morning 1932, Joe stopped in at the airline office in Fairbanks.
Hello, Joe. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Pat.
Oh, Joe, here's a package that came last night for you. I guess it's from your folks, a California postmark.
I hope it's something to eat. What I could do to a homemade...
Come in.
Chamayo chuta, kabluna yet.
An Eskimo.
Looks more like an Eskimo pie with all that snow on him. What do you want, Tom?
Me Billy. Me bring message on paper. Here, you read.
Well, Billy, it looks like you've come a long ways.
800 miles.
800 miles? On foot?
Nacha. No, on foot. On ski.
Joe, this message is from the reindeer herd.
What's that?
Remember the big herd of 3,000 reindeer that the Canadian government bought from Alaska 3 years ago?
Oh, the ones they were going to drive clear across the country to the Mackenzie River in Canada?
Yes, and they're in trouble. Their trip's taken much longer than they thought. Their medical supplies are gone, their clothes are worn out, and they need food.
How many in your outfit, Billy?
4 men. Me make 5.
5 men, driving 3,000 reindeer clear across the Arctic.
Sounds crazy to me.
Nacha, no crazy. Eskimo in Canada go hungry. No more game. Many starve. Pretty soon all die. Must get reindeer to Canada to save Eskimo.
Pat, you get the supplies. I'll start thawing out the engine oil.
But Joe, we'll have to put up our own money for the supplies. It'll be months before the Canadian government can pay us back.
Well, it's Christmas, isn't it?
The flying conditions are terrible, Joe. The herd's way up by the Arctic Ocean. And at this time of year, the day's only 3 hours long. You can't make the trip in 3 hours. You have to land somewhere up in the snow and then wait 21 hours for dawn.
Pat, I want to go. It isn't just those 5 men or the reindeer. But if that herd doesn't get there, thousands of Eskimos in Canada will starve to death.
You, please help.
Well, you win, Joe. I'll put up the money for those supplies. You get the plane ready.
Me fly with you?
Yes, Billy, you fly with me. In an hour, we'll be up there in the clouds.
Pretty soon it get dark, Mr. Joe.
Yes, Billy, and I don't even know where we are.
Clouds thick everywhere. How you know which way to go?
I was flying by this compass, Billy, though it started going in circles. But when the compass acts that way, I know we're near the Endicott Range. The iron in those mountains makes the compass act like a merry-go-round.
We up above mountains?
Not high enough to clear the peaks. And with the load we've got, I can't go any higher, Billy. I'm going to try to land. Keep your eyes peeled for anything that looks like a mountain.
Just see clouds. Clouds. Clouds.
Look, there's an opening in the clouds.
Clouds like big cliffs on both sides.
I'm going to dive down fast before those clouds close together again.
I see ground. Look, there is dog team.
Good. We can get our directions from the driver. I'm going to land on that frozen river. I'll taxi up behind him so I won't scare the dogs.
Why he no stop?
I don't know. I'll have to swing the plane around in front of the dogs. Hello there.
Whoa, boxer, sit and daisy, whoa! What are you fellows trying to do, run my dogs down?
We were trying to make you stop, mister. We want some help.
I'd soon help a polecat as an aviator. I told you that once. Get that plane out of the way.
But we're lost. We don't know this country up here. All we want are directions.
Okay. Well, that way is up. That way is down. Anything else? I'm going on.
You can't leave us here, lost.
All right. Come along with me. You'll be back to civilization in a couple of months.
But with the plane, I can fly there in a day.
Then fly! I ain't stopping you. Boxer, Sitka, Daisy, push! Push!
Billy, we'll have to camp here until dawn tomorrow.
I get tent from plane? We sleep here tonight.
No, we'll use the sleeping bags. That tent is for the plane engine, Billy. And we'll put the tent around the engine and inside make a fire going all night. Come on, hurry before the engine oil freezes.
Mr. Joe!
I'm awake, Billy. What is it? My turn to keep the fire?
No, Mr. Joe, but clouds gone. We see stars. Tell direction from stars.
You're right, Billy. Let's see. It's 8 p.m. At this hour, the tip of the handle of the Big Dipper will be due north. I'll make the points of the compass on the ice. There. and now we'll know which way to go tomorrow.
Good, good. Tomorrow, we find reindeer?
Yes, Billy. Say, you sure are anxious to get back to a tough job.
More soon we get reindeer to Canada, more soon I go back home.
How much longer will it take you to drive the reindeer to Canada, Billy?
Maybe 2 years more.
Huh. Say, Billy, how did the Eskimos decide who was to go on this trip? Did the chief appoint you?
No. Eskimos have no chief, no captain, no police, no jail. Alinuk. We just talked long time. Everybody agree who go. That all.
But, Billy, if you have no jails and no police, how do you keep order? Don't you have any way of punishing Eskimos who do wrong?
Yes, Mr. Joe. Man bad, we no talk to him. Call him Kivitok. He get very sad all alone. He be good.
Is not talking to a man the only punishment the Eskimos have?
No. One other punishment. Man bad, we no talk to him. If he's still bad...
What do you do then?
Kill him.
What?
Everybody talk secret. Long time. Wife, mother, father, son. Everybody talk. Pretty soon maybe everybody say, man no good. Kill him.
Well, who kills him?
Somebody from the family. Son, mother, brother.
His own family? Why is that?
Own family kill him. Then no bad feeling.
It's one of the strangest customs I've ever heard of. Say, Billy, look, the Northern Lights.
Eskimos say to see Northern Light mean good luck. Tomorrow we see Tuktu. We find reindeer.
We've come 150 miles since we crossed the Endicott Range, Billy. We ought to be seeing the reindeer track soon.
Mr. Joe, fly there. Down low. Look like snow packed down.
Okay, Billy.
Yes, yes, those tracks in snow. Reindeer come by here. Follow trail, that way.
That trail must be a quarter of a mile wide.
3,000 reindeer make a big trail.
But I thought you started with 3,000. Haven't you lost any?
Lose maybe 2,000.
You've lost 2,000? And you still have 3,000? That's impossible.
Every year, in the spring, the baby reindeer born. 2 years from now, when reindeer get to Canada, I think we still have 3,000. But not one single reindeer we started with.
What happens to them?
Wolves get some, Nanook get some, some run wild.
Billy, look, the reindeer.
Yes, yes, took two.
What a sight. Look at those antlers. Billy, this reindeer drive will go down as one of the greatest things in the history of the Arctic. You'll have saved a great part of the Eskimo people from death.
Mr. Joe, soon you say goodbye. You fly away. So now I say for all Eskimos, Kaksotuk. Thank you. We never forget to tell children, grandchildren, how Joe crossed and fly to save reindeer. Anywhere you go in North Country, Eskimo be your friend.
Billy, that's the first friendly word I've heard in this country. I'll never forget it.
Skyblazers, Joe landed the supplies, and 2 years later, that reindeer herd successfully reached the end of its journey at the Mackenzie River in Canada. Back in Fairbanks, Joe carried out his regular flying assignments, until one night when Pat Hennessy had persuaded Joe to go to a miner's dance 50 miles out of Fairbanks.
Partners round and round, swing the lady and gents go round. Face your partner and do-si-do, swing your lady by your side. Don't slip on that cowhide. Ladies dressed in greens and blues, don't step on them yeller shoes.
Hey, why'd you stop the music?
Quiet, folks, quiet. Is Joe crossing in the hall?
I'm crossing. What do you want?
This message has just come through from Fairbanks. I'm going to let everybody hear it. Now, quiet, folks. Shortwave message from Point Barrow says diphtheria epidemic raging. All children and many older folks sick. 10 have died. Must send serum and doctor by plane at once. Save town. Can you go, Joe?
You bet we can. Come on, Pat. We've got to get that doctor and the serum to Barrow.
How long to Barrow now, Mr. Crossan?
At least another hour, Doctor. The blizzard is holding us back.
Feel any effects from that diphtheria inoculation?
Nothing yet. Arm's a little stiff. Say, Doctor, don't get nervous, but I'm going down lower. I don't like this weather.
Do you think you can actually get below this storm?
No, but I may be able to get my bearings. We're near the Arctic Ocean now, and I'd hate to get blown out to sea. In bad weather like this, we might never get the plane back to land.
But we've got to get to Barrow. More lives than our own depend on it.
I'll get you there, Doctor, in spite of this blizzard.
You're a good fighter, Mr. Crossan.
Skyblazers. Joe Crossan landed his plane to Point Barrow in spite of that blizzard. The serum was there in time, and in 2 weeks the diphtheria epidemic was under control. With the thanks and best wishes of the people of Barrow, Joe Crossan took off in his plane with the doctor, headed back for Fairbanks. 2 hours later, they were flying over the frozen ice of the Alatna River.
What's our altitude now, Mr. Crossan?
Just under 1,000 feet, Doctor. I'm keeping low to get the drive of that tailwind.
Say, turn right a little. I see something down there in the snow.
What is it?
Can't tell for sure yet, but... it looks like a dog team. And a man. He's lying down.
Doctor, that man's being dragged over the ice.
Going to land?
Yes, hold on. It looks like he was tied by the arms of the sled. If he's still alive, he's unconscious.
Dogs are so tired, they can hardly move.
Come on, Doctor. Oh, look out for these dogs, Doctor. They've still got some fight in them. Is the man alive?
Yes, but he must have been dragged miles across the ice. He's all tangled up in the straps.
He's unconscious?
Yes, his leg's broken. Looks like he fell off the sled, and the dogs just kept going.
Trying to get him home, maybe.
Yeah, but in another hour, he'd have been frozen.
Let's get him into the plane. We'll have to take him into Fairbanks. Look out for the dogs. Come on, lift him up. How's the patient, Doctor?
He's coming to, Mr. Crossan. I set his leg and bandaged it.
Washer. Mark. You sick of Daisy.
Take it easy, fella.
What? Who are you?
I'm a doctor.
Let me up. Where am I?
You're in a transport plane flying into Fairbanks. We found you on the ice. Your leg broken.
Plane? Me flying in a plane?
That's right, Sourdough. At least you're flying in a plane.
Oh, so it's you again. Let me out of this plane.
Open that door and you can step right out into space.
I won't stay in any plane.
Now, calm down. If it hadn't been for Joe Crossan, you'd probably be frozen to death by now.
Nobody asked you to save me. Why didn't you let me alone?
What's the matter, Sourdough?
You saved me and left my dogs down there to die. That's what's the matter. You don't care nothing about my dogs. But I do, and I'm going away and leave my dogs to die. How do I get that door open?
Will you be quiet for a minute and listen?
Take me back. Take me back to my dogs.
Wait a minute, Sourdough. Doctor, open the door of the baggage compartment.
Boxer, sick of Daisy. My dogs, you brought them along.
Of course I brought them along.
Thanks, Crossan. I want to shake hands with you. And I'm going to tell all the other sourdoughs up here in Alaska that, well, aviators is okay.
Skyblazers, today the airplane has become part of everyday life in Alaska. Collecting and delivering letters, bringing a dozen eggs or fresh milk, or a spool of thread to lonely miners and trappers' cabins. Doctors and dentists make the rounds by airplane, and flying the routes that serve Alaska is one of the most respected and best-liked men in the country, Joe Crossan. And now, boys and girls, listen. It's up to you to blaze your own trail to adventure by keeping physically fit at all times. And by keeping fit, I mean do as famous pilots do. Get plenty of sleep, outdoor exercise, and eat good, nourishing foods. A big glass of milk and 2 slices of slow-baked Wonder Bread every meal is your schedule.
Skyblazers, here's an important message. Would you like to have a copy of the actual radio script of Joe Crossan that you just heard so that you can learn exactly how a real radio script is written? Well, our sponsors, the makers of Wonder Bread, will send you a free copy to any English teacher who writes in for one. Just address Skyblazers, care of the station to which you are listening. So students, get your teachers to write in for a free copy of the exciting radio drama which was broadcast tonight. And now,
before I tell you about next week's Skyblazers adventures, listen. Skyblazers, I want every one of you to make contact with Wonder Bread the next meal you eat. 2 fresh slices next to your plate, and a big glass of milk. You already know why the milk is important, so we won't go into that. Now I'm going to ask Nellie Case to tell you the straight facts about why you should eat Wonder Bread.
Thank you, Colonel Roscoe Turner. These are mighty good flight preparation orders for anybody to follow. And let me tell all of you Skyblazers just why we say Wonder Bread is the favorite with Skyway champions. Good bread helps build strong muscles, supplies the food energy that you need to be a winner. And Wonder Bread brings you bread at its best, because every loaf is slow-baked for lasting freshness. Yes, actually baked 13% slower than many ordinary breads. And that means a really fresher, tastier loaf, delicious, tender slices with a delicate, wheaty flavor, and chock full of the abundant food energy every Sky Blazer needs to go into action. Just as there's a difference in the gasolines you put into an airplane engine, there's a difference in the breads you eat to supply the lasting pep and steam, and Wonder Bread is official for all Sky Blazers. Is that right, Colonel Turner?
Mighty good advice. At every meal, a glass of milk and two slices of Wonder Bread, slow-baked for lasting freshness. Next week, Sky Blazers, you're going to hear the thrilling story of how an airplane was used by oil prospectors in Borneo. How a modern scientific device detects oil a mile underground. You're going to hear about man-eating crocodiles. How Skyblazer Bill Eddy was captured by the headhunters. And all about their weird death ceremony. Be sure to listen next Saturday night to another Phillips H. Lord dramatization of Skyblazers.
You've been listening to a recreation by American Radio Theater of a lost show from the days of old-time radio. The Joe Crossan story from Sky Blazers, produced and directed by Joy Jackson, was originally broadcast on CBS March 16, 1940. In our cast, you heard Rhys Hyatt as Joe Crossan, Dave Leese as Roscoe Turner, Chuck Royalty as Johnson, Nick Richa as Saxon the Manager, Dan Schindler as Shorty, Karen Leese as the Square Dance Caller, Ken Leese as the Conductor and Sitka Husky One, Beth Schlansky as the Doctor, Pat McNally as Pat Hennessy, Greg Porter as Billy the Eskimo, Linda Rasmussen as Miss Case, additional roles played by the cast. Music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.